You all right there?
Stop rushing me. It's a Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for being with us, as always. It is much appreciated. Battling a couple things, Rami.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, a couple things going on.
You were telling me before the break.
A couple things at work.
Playing through it today.
Playing
through it.
Trying to play through it.
Playing through it.
I don't know how well I'm doing, but I'm trying to play through
Mink
it.
Mink said to me like 2 minutes before the show started, I just tweaked my back. And, yeah. And I said, doing what? And he said, you're looking at it.
Yeah, wiping stuff down.
Just wiping down the console.
It's what happens when you have back surgery in your early 20s. It's fantastic. Just wiping stuff down with Lysol.
I'm sorry to laugh at that, but that's humorous, right?
I mean, I deserve it. I laughed at you being stuck in an elevator.
That is true, so and wished I was in there longer.
that's what got you. That's what got you. It wasn't the fact that you gave me great material. It was that
right.
I kind of wished you to be there longer. Not nice. Not nice at all. So were the Kings on Bourbon Street Saturday night?
They did say it was Malik Monk's birthday.
Was his 25th?
Yeah.
That team yesterday looked like they went on a rager on Bourbon. They had absolutely 0.0 energy.
I don't know what I watched.
What?
Did you watch the whole game?
I watched a calamity is what I watched.
Did you watch the whole game? Or did you bail
well,
out
some so
point?
I watched the first half.
Okay.
The second half was mostly background noise
same.
As I did other things.
Yeah, same.
I quit on them about 3 minutes into the third quarter.
We were eating dinner, and I had my back to the TV. Because one seat faces the TV, the other faces away from the TV. And my girlfriend was like, you want to switch seats so you can watch the game? I was like,
no, I'm good.
I'm good.
I've seen enough.
I'm listening.
This is not going to get better.
I'm fine.
I actually, the most like attention that I paid to it in the second half was to see how long Domas was going to be on the floor. Because Coach Brown didn't take him out until like 90 seconds left in the third quarter.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no.
It's a 30-point game. What are we doing? But anyway, it was absolutely brutal to watch. And as you've heard all day long here on Sacktown Sports, of course, Dave and Jason in the morning, Deuce and Mo right before us. It's kind of crazy, Rami, but this team, they are 2-8 against teams that are on the second night of a back-to-back. That is insane. That is just nonsensical to be 2-8 against teams that are in the second night of their back-to-back. You know, you're supposed to have the energy. You're supposed to have the advantage. And then, on top of the fact that the Pelicans were playing on a second night of a back-to-back, no Zion, no Ingram, no Valanciunas, mm-hmm. no Daniels. You've got three guys who are three of the most important players
three
on this roster.
Three of their top four leading scorers.
And then you've got Daniels who plays like 15, 16 minutes a night. And all of those guys are out. Like, look, I did not want to hear any of the excuses last night. And I was watching and I heard, especially in the first half, oh, well, you don't have De'Aaron Fox and this is the fifth game of the road trip. Couldn't care less.
No.
You can't tell me about not having De'Aaron Fox when the other team doesn't have four dudes and three of them vitally important to the operation.
I'm going to credit Kyle Draper, who after the game said this was the worst game of the year. This was the worst game of the year that the Kings have played
after
on the NBC.
After he threw his rundown off the desk. He just pushed
Dude, there,
it all up.
There's literally no excuse for what we saw last
no.
night, Nick.
And you know who knows that? Above us and beyond mm-hmm. us is mm-hmm. Coach Mike Brown. Here he was in the postgame.
We're not getting stops. And, you know, we've dropped two in a row. Okay. We've hit some adversity. I'm interested to see how we respond from this adversity, not just short term, but long term as a team. But more importantly, as individuals, because when you hit adversity as an individual, your true colors come out. And right now, I don't know if we're all in like we talked about at the beginning of the year and how we've been because things are flowing and we're winning and we're in third place or whatever. So right now, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to see how we all handle this adversity. I think it's a great thing for it. It's tough to go through, but it's a great thing for this team to experience right now because at the end of the day, if we do expect to make the playoffs, if we do expect to advance in the playoffs, we're going to have to deal with adversity. We're going to have to handle it individually and as a group. And right now, I don't think we're doing a great job with it.
That is the coach, and I think that came out of one speaker. If you were listening at home, there was a little bit of a technical deal there that I didn't quite hear all of it, right?
My headphones suck, so I thought that was just me. Okay.
That's Coach Brown telling us, like, look, the buy-in from the beginning of the year, not sure it's there right now. Not sure if these guys are actually truly in this. And I don't know about you, Rami, but last night, that's the worst loss of the season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. That, I mean, Nick, it was – they like you said, it looked like they were out on Bourbon Street all night. All night with the way that game went. It was the worst loss of the season. And you – and in a certain circumstance, you might be able to go, hey, no D Fox. You know what I mean? If this was a healthy New Orleans team and they got run up and down the court, you could maybe look at it and go, hey, no D Fox. And take the beating and not really think about it. Move on to the next one. Like you said, Nick, missing three of their top four scorers on the second night of a back-to-back. They've lost three games. You said they're 2-8 against opponents on the back end of a road trip. They've lost three games on this road trip to opponents playing the second night of back-to-backs. Like, a seven-game road trip is not easy, and you never like to see that on the schedule. But when you look at who they had on this seven-game road trip, and the way that the schedule makers stacked it to get all these teams on the back end of these back-to-backs, they did them a favor.
Yeah,
they made this seven-game road trip as easy as they could make it, and the Kings are making it harder on themselves.
And now you have the second night of a back-to-back tonight in Houston. So now you've got to go through it and find somehow, some way to give all the energy that you failed to give last night. De'Aaron Fox will reportedly be back tonight, but I mean – It was a lack of energy.
There was no resistance to drivers.
I was just going
to
say.
No resistance to drivers to the paint.
There was a lack of force. And I just kept thinking about that one word last night watching that game. Force. The Kings had no force to their play. They showed no force defensively. They showed no force offensively. Everything was laissez-faire, la-di-da, no big deal. And they did not push back. They did not fight back. And the team that was on the second night of a back-to-back down all the guys they were down, they're winning the 50-50 balls. Like, that kind of stuff can't happen. You can watch the Indiana game on Friday night like I did while Kelly and I were out just chilling, and you could watch that game and you can say, well, okay, they had, what, 20 turnovers, they're playing without Fox. That's the kind of game that you might be able to say, yeah, you want to win that and you should win that, but losing by a possession or two on the road, those games kind of happen without one of your best players. Last night, no excuse. That was bad across the board.
No starter had more than 12 points last night.
Rami, the starters were outscored in the first half 39-13 by the bench.
Do you have the box score in front of you
now? Don't.
Okay. What do you think the best plus minus was in the starting lineup? Just off the top of your head, the number. What do you think was the best plus minus of all five guys in the starting lineup?
I'll go minus 10.
All five of Sacramento's starters were minus 28 or worse.
Wow.
Minus 28 or worse.
Wow.
And I said this before. Like, plus minus isn't the be-all, end-all, and a lot of people put too much weight into a plus minus. But when it's really good or really bad, that tells you something.
Yeah.
And when all five of your starters are minus 28 or worse, I don't know how you don't call that the worst game of the season, especially considering they were without three of their four best players.
They shot 26% from three-point land last night. And here's the thing. On an individual game basis, that's obviously bad. Oh, my goodness, 26%. The last five games, this is a team that has shot under 30% from three. This is now five games where these guys just are not shooting well. And I do think some of that can be legs. I do think we're at the part of the year as you're getting closer to the All-Star break, guys are running a little bit ragged. But under 30%, 26% last night, and stop me if you've heard this before with the broken record of this season, minus 22 in paint points. So you had New Orleans with no Zion, no Ingram, no Valanciunas, arguably three of their best post players. They're not playing, and you got outscored by 22 points in the paint. You had 15 turnovers. You had 20 on Friday. Like, these are problems, right? The lack of a playmaker, especially when Fox is not there, trying to figure it out. You've got Domas, and then what? And it's like guys don't really know how to react when they don't have Domas or Fox out there, and they struggle with adjusting. And this is, you know, these games, I know. I know we talk about it. We say these games happen in a season, and they do. It doesn't make it any less awful to watch.
No.
Because that last night was just, as we said at the start of the show, that's inexcusable.
Or to have your back, too. while you eat spaghetti and meatballs?
Yes.
Oh, really good spaghetti and meatballs. A little garlic toast on the
side. So it was all worth it.
Mm.
Worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we want your thoughts on the game last night. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Of course, you can check us out YouTube, youtube.com, Sactown Sports 1140. Give us the thumbs up if you can, when you can. That helps us grow
There's
the
a
community.
Giant microphone in my face.
And
right
grow
now.
The channel. YouTube.com, Sactown Sports 1140. We'll get to your Kings reaction. Also, do we have a Kevin Huerter problem? Our Uh-oh. Thoughts in 90 seconds.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.
2:14 on this Monday. Time check brought to you by West Coast Men's Health Acoustic Wave Therapy.
What is with this show today? You threw out your back wiping down the console?
Yes.
I almost choked on water literally as the commercial break is coming back. Did you hear me over
Yes,
here?
I heard you. Okay. I was wondering what was happening. Yeah,
wrong
I popped
pipe.
My microphone on. I was
it was the old wrong pipe.
The old wrong pipe. The old wrong pipe blues. We all watched the game last night. We're all out of like sorts today. Throwing my back
choked
out.
Up. We're all choked up and hurt.
I got a stomach thing going on. Popped a couple of Pepto on my way to work today.
Oh, I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the Kings.
All
They're
sorts
causing
of stuff
all
is
of
happening. Here is TCG, YouTube.com. Officially concerned. Team has not looked the same since Monty signed the extension. Offense, MIA. Yeah, they're struggling shooting the basketball. I mean, that's a big, big problem. And they've been struggling for at least the last five games, if not more.
Yeah.
Just gave you the stat. Last five games, 29.4% from three. Not good enough. Before we get to Kevin Huerter.
26% last night.
Brutal.
Good.
Before we get to Huerter and more of your reaction, Fox, as I said, seems to be back tonight. He is not on the team injury report. He was out the last couple of games due to personal reasons. I don't have time for people complaining about Fox being out because the birth of a child. Can we stop? What are we doing? Are we cavemen? Can we just stop with that?
I can't believe that's still a thing in 2023.
How dare the young man want to be there for the birth of his child?
How dare he be a parent before a basketball player?
It's basketball. He's going to play basketball. He's going to play these games.
I wonder if these guys are really going to work while a significant other is giving birth.
Dad, were you there?
Child.
Dad, were you there at my birth? No, sorry, son. I had to go play a Pelicans game.
I was on the schedule that day. Yeah. So, you know, these things happen.
Sorry, Risa, you're out of luck. Go it alone, honey. Love you. See you when I get back home.
I knew I was going to see you the next day. What's the big deal? I'm going to see you every day for the rest of your life.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, it's a baby. Ooh.
I need to see you the first thing you come out into the world.
So ridiculous, man. Let the man be a father, okay? Can we allow that in this world? Meanwhile, I think Fox did get some news that was good news, hopefully for him, aside from obviously being a father once again. Steph Curry, leg injury, not great news for the Warriors or Curry, but this could end up being good news for Fox as far as the All-Star team goes. We're going to get a timetable on Curry within the next couple of days, the Warriors said in their release. But he's going to be out at least a couple of weeks. So Curry not in the All-Star game opens the door wide for either Fox or Anthony Edwards.
And I think it's got to be Fox, right? And I'm not saying Anthony Edwards doesn't have a strong case, but the consensus seemed to be, Nick, on social media, wherever you were on the day that All-Star reserves were announced, that the first snub, maybe in either conference, really, although there were some pretty big names that didn't make it in the East, but especially in the Western Conference, the number one snub in most people's eyes, to me, I think, seemed to be De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox was trending on Twitter, not just in Sacramento. He was trending on Twitter nationally the day that they announced the reserves because so many people were pointing out that he should have been on that All-Star team. I love Anthony Edwards, man. I love watching that young man play basketball. I think he's got a lot of All-Star games in his future, and he has a strong case this year. But for me, it's clear-cut De'Aaron Fox. I don't know if that's just the bubble effect that talked about.
No, I think it's Fox. And I think, you know, all the national pushback that we saw as soon as the team was announced, saying how could De'Aaron Fox not be on this team, I think he gets in. No doubt about that. I think it has to be De'Aaron Fox. Before we get to
boycott, if they don't make it.
That's right. Before we get to you got Malik wanting to boycott. Malik didn't boycott last night. He played okay.
I think even Anthony Edwards said he thinks that De'Aaron Fox should be the one to get the spot.
He said Edwards said he was not surprised by missing the team, but he was actually more surprised by Fox missing out on the team.
Oh, yeah, that was his remark.
Before we get to Kevin Herter, let's go to George. George wants to talk about the Kings. Hey, George.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. For a while, I thought our number one need is an athletic big that'll be a rim protector. But now, in the last 10 games, especially in the last couple of games, the Fox is missing. I honestly believe that our number one need right now is a backup point guard. I don't think that Mitchell is cutting it. He looks really lost in there. He's not producing. If you look at his last 10 games, looks really sad, looks really bad. And I do not want to hear that he's a lockdown defender. If you cannot give me more than 3 points playing in 22 minutes, you should not be on the floor.
George, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you. Listen, I've talked about Davion, and I think, you know, if this was longer than a 90-minute show today, we would talk about Davion more. I think we will tomorrow.
We got 4 hours tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, when you look at this, when you look at Davion, here's the problem. Here's the problem, George. Number one, you do have a backup point guard. It's Davion Mitchell, but he's not playing the backup point guard spot.
Right.
Malik Monk is the playmaker off the bench. Malik Monk is the guy that this offense is running through when you have Davion and Monk out there. I said this, and look, I don't get everything right. Everybody knows that. I get plenty wrong. But I said at the beginning of the year, as soon as I saw how Malik Monk was being deployed by this coaching staff and that he was going to be the playmaker, I said then, I've said it throughout this season, and I'll say it again right now. Davion Mitchell is not a fit. If you're not going to have him with the ball in his hands, if he is not going to be the creator, if he's not going to be the playmaker on that second unit, he's not a fit. He's not a strong enough shooter to be an off-the-ball guy. He's just not.
But it's a double-edged sword, Nick, because the other side of that is you're a team, and I know that they've climbed the defensive rankings rapidly here in the last week to 10 days. I think they were 18th, they said last night on the broadcast. They rank right now. But even that being said, you're a team that's been defensively deficient all season long, and Davion Mitchell is arguably your best defender. I don't know if it's still the case, but we were talking about that stat last week that their lineup of their four starters plus Davion Mitchell in for De'Aaron Fox is their best defensive lineup and one of the best defensive lineups in the entire NBA. That's the type of defensive impact that the guy has. So I don't know where the breaking point is or where the 2 points cross on the sliding scale of Davion's putrid offense and his excellent defense and when it becomes too much of a hindrance, what he can't do on the offensive side of things. But we got to be getting pretty close to that, aren't we? Aren't we pretty close to that breaking point, you would think?
Yes, yes. And it's a growing problem. You know, especially when Fox is out, the lack of playmakers, you try to run the offense through Domas a lot, and teams are bothering Domas with length at times, and, you know, they're digging a lot when he's trying to dribble into, you know, the paint, and a lot of times he creates some of his own problems by driving into traffic. Fox, I was just talking about this with Chris Watkins before the show. There were numbers several weeks ago that I wanted to bring up on the show, never got to it. But when you look at Fox's numbers at the rim, he's fantastic at, like, finishing at the rim, and he's fantastic when it comes to, you know, tough finishes at the rim. Mm-hmm. But he's not great when it comes to creating assists off of his rim attacks. And so a lot of times when Fox gets to the bucket, he's looking to score. And sometimes it would help if he sprayed it out for an open three. Speaking of threes, Kevin Herter, last night, 10 points, 3 of 8 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3.
I think you can say, speaking of threes, Kevin Herter, the way he's been shooting the ball lately.
Speaking of threes. I didn't say speaking of making threes. I said speaking of threes. Kevin is shooting 23.5% in February from the three-point line. That's three games. When you look month-to-month, Rami, Herter has shot 53% from three, 41% from three, 37.5% from three, 37.2% from three, and so far 23.5% from three. So literally every single month of this season, he has dipped in three-point shooting. And he is off to a very rough start this month. And last night was another rough one.
And you like to say that, and he's going to shoot better than he is now, Nick, but when it's literally progressively getting worse every single month of the season, you do start to wonder, okay, when does that start to curve back up on the chart of Kevin Huerter's scoring this season? You would think it's got to be close, but we keep waiting, man. We keep waiting, and the shots keep not falling for that guy.
And it's tough. It's tough to watch this team when Keegan and Kevin are going through what they went through last night and can't throw it in the ocean. It's especially when you don't have Fox. We all see what happened. No Fox and Huerter and Keegan just being abysmal the last couple of nights.
Even with Fox, you usually need at least one of those two guys to step up and have a decent night.
YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. You can swing by the YouTube channel if you like what we're doing here. Give us the thumbs up. More likes means more eyeballs. We can build this community. We can build the YouTube channel. So please do that when you swing by. YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Should the Kings be worried about the Mavs now that they have Kyrie Irving? We'll talk about that deal coming up next. All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So Kyrie Irving is on his way to Dallas, Rami. On Friday.
This dude.
I talked about, you were not here on Friday. I talked about Kyrie requesting a trade. I did not think it would take about 48 hours for him to be out the door. That was quick.
Yeah, that happened fast.
It's like the Nets were just waiting for it.
That happened real fast.
As soon as the request happened, they're like, all right, let's get it done.
I bet you the Nets were fielding offers just waiting for the Kyrie trade request to come through.
Like, let's start making calls. Here was Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN on the trade yesterday.
The Dallas-Brooklyn talks accelerated quickly today, and the Mavericks wanted to get, I think both sides wanted to get a deal done. I think Dallas, and they may have put more in terms of draft compensation, a draft pick compensation in the deal than they might have. But they wanted to get this thing done. They didn't want to lose Kyrie Irving elsewhere in the league. And also for Brooklyn, they were ready to be done with this Kyrie Irving situation. They got back what they hoped they would, which was a point guard, a wing player that they can plug into their lineup right now. They had Spencer Dinwiddie before. They're familiar with him. Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, a very good wing player in this league.
All right, so this trade has been agreed upon, but it has not been finalized. And I bring that up because over the last 30 minutes or so, multiple reports saying the Nets are still trying to work out a separate deal along with this deal so they can expand it and bring more talent back to Brooklyn. This is from Yahoo Sports' Jake Fisher, posted just 20 minutes ago. The Nets agreed in principle to the trade. That deal has not yet been completed. The Nets have actively explored ways to expand the trade into a three-team framework that further upgrades Brooklyn's roster around Kevin Durant. Raptors have shown interest in Spencer Dinwiddie in the past. The concept of moving the draft capital plus Dinwiddie to Toronto for Fred VanVleet became a popular idea among league executives by last night. But sources said the Nets do not intend to move Dinwiddie. There are other names brought up. Pascal Siakam, saying the Raptors will remains hefty skepticism that Siakam will be moved. OG Anunoby has been the name that rival execs have monitored the most outside of VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. So if you're looking at this, there's the possibility, at least, according to Jake Fisher, where the Nets can expand this deal and they can end up taking some of the pieces they got from Dallas in the trade and ship them to Toronto and bring back another piece. We'll see if that happens. If you walk away, if you're the Nets and you walk away with, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie and Fred VanVleet, or Spencer Dinwiddie and OG Anunoby, or, you know, that's not too shabby for giving up Kyrie.
No, but it's still Kevin Durant and a bunch of dudes at the end of the day, isn't it? You don't have the Robin to his Batman there in Brooklyn, which I think, look, it's great to have a deep roster. You need to have a deep roster to win championships, but the NBA is about superstars, and that's how you win and compete for championships. And even given what you just said, Nick, good return on Kyrie Irving. I still just don't think that that's enough.
Well, we've talked about it before. You know, it's a very difficult position for the Nets because Kyrie gonna Kyrie, right?
Right.
I mean, this is what this guy has done.
My first reaction, I wasn't here Friday, but I was on the old group chat as you guys were talking about what was gonna go down on the show, and you said whole show just changed.
Yeah.
Kyrie requested a trade. And my first reaction was, what the bleep, on the chat. And then I thought about it for like a minute. And then I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, this is what I've been talking. And I'm not the only one. I'm not a genius by any means. Well, I am, but not when it comes to this. Everybody saw this.
A humble genius.
Everybody saw this coming at some point. Didn't we? Like, I kept on saying ever since the whole sharing the anti-Semitic film thing, I was like, yeah, that's over now. That's in the past. But it's just a matter of when is the next thing for Kyrie Irving to throw a wrench into the Brooklyn Nets' plans.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that we were kind of waiting for it. What took me off guard, though, what took me by surprise was the timing of it. And I know that they had gone, what, 5-7 since Durant's injury? But I mentioned this on the show Friday. They were 18-2 with KD and Kyrie, mm-hmm. their prior 20 games, prior yeah. to that injury. 18-2. They were arguably looking like one of, if not the best team in the Eastern Conference for like a full month.
But when it makes the least sense,
that's when Kyrie acts.
That's when Kyrie strikes. You know what I mean? That's who this dude is. He just pulled the ultimate distraction or whatever, and just pulled the, you know, hit the eject button and removed himself from the situation entirely. I don't know how many teams are going to keep on investing all these assets and all this money in this dude and thinking he'll be different for them. He's an amazing basketball player, man, and he does a lot of great stuff off the court too, but he just can't be relied upon to play basketball for you and to not be a problem in your organization.
The history is the history. The resume is the resume. Here's Brian Windhorst from ESPN.
Nobody breaks up big threes like Kyrie.
Yep.
Because they had a championship core in Cleveland. People forget that 2017 team, his last year there, was maybe the best team LeBron's ever had. And they just ran into the buzzsaw of the Warriors. He broke that up because he wasn't happy with it. I know that Jaylen Brown wasn't Jaylen Brown now, but he had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum with him in Boston. He broke that up. And then he comes and gets a dream scenario in Brooklyn where he actually is sort of the leader of that group. It was unlike Cleveland and unlike Boston, where he was able to pick it, and he was able to control the head coach, and he was able to control how the roster was put together. So he has no more excuses there, and he blew that one up.
I hate this trade for Dallas.
Me too.
Number one, I don't think it's a great fit. I don't think Luka and Kyrie are a great fit together. Both guys enjoy the basketball in their hands. Neither guy defends. Neither guy really wants to defend.
No.
So I don't think it's a great basketball fit. You just look at this, and Dallas had Jalen Brunson. All you had to do was re-sign Brunson, and you would have had Brunson and Luka, and you could have moved forward. Brunson doesn't have a long history of just absolutely imploding teams from within like Kyrie does. So instead of just signing Brunson, you give up assets and you bring Kyrie in. Kyrie does not fit with Luka. At least I don't think he's going to fit with Luka. You make your defense much worse because you trade Dorian Finney-Smith, and that guy is one of your better defenders. So now you got a leaky defense. They included, Rami, in this trade a 2029 first-round pick, and Luka's only signed for the next 3 years. And there have been rumblings within mm-hmm. the NBA that Luka is eventually going to leave Dallas to go to L.A. or Miami or one of those bigger markets. If that's the case, who knows what that 2029 unprotected first-round pick is going to look like.
And you don't even have an extension agreed to with Kyrie Irving. You could have given up all this for this guy to be a rental. And would it surprise anybody if Kyrie Irving was, for some reason, not happy in Dallas and wanted to move on at the end of this season, leaving them holding the bag and sitting there with nothing for everything that they gave
up?
I'll
do you one better.
For Kyrie Irving.
You could sign him to, let's say, a 2 or 3 year extension. He could still want out in a few months.
Still want out next year.
Even if he signs an extension, he's going to turn around and say, you know what, I kind of don't like Dallas. It isn't working out. Send me to L.A. I want to go play with LeBron. Let me finish my career with Brown.
My baby boy did what he always do.
My baby boy did what he always do.
That's what Kyrie Irving's dad is saying right now. Yeah. He did what he always do.
It's Kyrie's dad. Like, if you're the Mavericks, you have zero confidence in this guy saying, you know what, I'm going to hang around. And you actually might have just sped up Luka's clock. Like, if you're Luka, to me, Luka is like this, the antithesis of Kyrie, right? Like, Luka's been loyal. He's a guy who just, like, is nonstop compete. He's not full of drama off the floor.
He's just show up and ball.
He's not causing friction with all of his teammates. And now he's got to deal with Kyrie Irving.
You know what I do like about this, though? Is sad LeBron.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
Sad LeBron.
I do. Because that's a whole...
I enjoy emo LeBron.
That's a whole thing. That's a whole thing, the emo LeBron thing. And did you notice that LeBron ran to ESPN to have a sit-down interview?
Sure did.
Took him less than 24 hours.
Sure did.
He's sitting there going, wait, Kyrie went to... All right, give me my phone. He called ESPN, was like, we got to talk about this. Tomorrow. When do you want to do it, LeBron? You got to be a busy guy. Tomorrow.
When are you free?
I'll hook up a Zoom if we got to. I want to talk about here? This. He can't help himself. So, yeah, I hate the deal for Dallas. I absolutely hate that
Same.
Deal. And look,
I mean, I love it because that's another team in the Western Conference that's going to fall apart. And I agree with you, Nick. I don't think it's beyond the pale to think that Luka could ask out very, very soon from that situation if this goes as bad as it looks like it could go. That's another team the Kings don't have to worry about if all those dominoes fall.
The best.
Good.
The absolute best word that describes everything when you just talk about Kyrie wherever he is, is just volatile.
Yep.
It's a volatile situation. At any moment, he could walk in and destroy a locker room. At any moment. You could be on a winning streak and he could walk in and ruin it. It has no bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're
like
a Luka,
you said, 18-2 with the big two in the lineup.
How about KD, who just he embraced the idea. Like, he believed Kyrie. He believed that this was going to be different because Kyrie recruited him. Kyrie recruited him to Brooklyn. It was all going to be different. No, it's never different with Kyrie Irving.
No.
Never. No. In Dallas now, Mark Cuban's obsession with adding another star with Luka, to me, it just screams of a desperate move by the Maverick.
And, I mean, all you got to do is a quick search of what Mark Cuban had to say when the whole anti-Semitic film thing went down. And this seems like a pretty quick flip for Mark Cuban and the Mavericks.
27 points a night. YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. Give us the like. Craziest NBA story that came out over the weekend is coming up. We have an absolutely banana story to talk about. So the Grizzlies are 2-8 in their last 10 games. They're 11-16 on the road. But they had a bigger problem pop up over the weekend. This report from our friend Sam Amick to go along with Bob Kravitz in The Athletic. Did you read this thing in its entirety?
I did, yeah.
All right, so this is a little bit long, but stay with me here. Stay with me. It's worth it. Here's what Amick and Kravitz wrote over the weekend. Following a game between the Pacers and Grizzlies on January 29th in Memphis, acquaintances of Grizzlies star Ja Morant aggressively confronted members of the Pacers' traveling party near the team's bus in the loading area of FedEx Forum, and later someone in a slow-moving SUV, which Morant was riding in, trained a red laser on them. The two members of the traveling party who spoke to the Athletic said that they did not see who shined the laser from the SUV. They also don't know if the laser was attached to a gun, but they believed it was. A Pacers security guard in the loading area at the time remarked, quote, "That's 100% a gun," unquote. The Pacers did alert the NBA. League spokesperson Mike Bass told the Athletic the league probed the matter. So here's what happened during the game, Rami. Several Pacers and Grizzlies team members verbally sparred, and Morant's father, T, and one of Morant's longtime friends, Devontae Pack, also directed comments at Pacers players. What is going on with T. Morant?
I don't know.
You know, Shannon Sharp, we talked about this a week or two ago.
But
got into it with T. Morant, too.
That is one thing, because Shannon Sharp is a bystander himself. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if I'm a bystander and a family member is playing and another bystander starts drawing at him, I might say something. You know, so that was, that I won't say reasonable, but at least made some sense. That he was like, hey, man, why are you talking to my son? You don't need to be talking to my son while he's out there playing. This one here, I don't know. I don't get it. This dude, he's interjecting himself into the action a lot.
Like, let the players play. Like, what are we doing? And Devontae Pack, this friend of Ja, let your guy play, man. Like, whatever happens on the floor, happens on the floor. Let the guys handle their business. You don't need to jump in. In the third quarter, Pack walked onto the court and directed expletives at multiple Pacers players. A game referee interceded, called arena security, and Pack was removed from the floor. So This guy Devontae Pack not only was yapping back and forth to play, he actually walked onto the floor.
Who does he think he is? What does he think this is?
He's Ja's buddy. I can do what I want. I'm with Ja. Apparently. After the game, the Pacers players, coaches, and support staff entered the loading area to board a team bus. About 30 to 40 yards away from the bus were two parked cars. Pack and four to five other men emerged from the cars, walked to within 30 feet of the Pacers group, and began shouting at them. According to the sources, the remarks directed at them by Pack and others included, "Come get some of this, and you don't know how we roll, and I'll show you what I got." Some Pacers players and others yelled back at them, according to the two people present. Pacers NBA and arena security got between the two groups. The verbal sparring continued intermittently for approximately 15 to 20 minutes. These guys are beefing for 15 to 20 minutes.
How does it take that long?
Outside the arena.
For security to make this stop.
Well, it took 15 to 20 minutes until Morant showed up, apparently. And he entered the loading area. He, Pack, the guy who apparently also walked onto the floor, and others dispersed into two vehicles. Morant, Pack, and one other person got into an SUV, sources said. The first vehicle turned toward the bus before exiting up a ramp and out of the arena's loading area. The SUV moved toward the Pacers bus, turned, slowed, and that was when members of the Pacers traveling party noticed a red laser coming from the car and being trained on players, coaches, and others. NBA banned, if you're wondering, banned some from attending games at FedEx Forum. I'm guessing Devontae Pack was on that list.
He was, yeah.
Ja tweeted, "Did an investigation seen they were capping. Still let an article come out to paint this negative image on me and my fam and ban my brother from home games for a year. Unbelievable." So Ja's coming out saying this is all crap. This report's crap. None of this is true. The NBA investigated, and the NBA decided to ban some of these guys from the arena. So the NBA, not that they found anything about the red laser, but they saw the activity in the arena and said, well, the least we can do is get rid of that dude. We can't allow him to be at NBA games.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
He's got to walk onto the floor.
That Pack dude, he should be banned for a year at least just for walking onto the floor and exchanging words with players. That anybody who did that. I don't care if you know Ja Morant or not. Dude, you're lucky that's all that happened is that you were banned and you weren't taken away in cuffs. You can't walk on the court and start talking trash to players. Even if this thing after it turns out to be totally fabricated, not true at all, he should be, that alone earned him the ban. Forget what happened after the game. How is Ja Morant going to even say anything about that?
Yeah, Ja Morant looks silly coming out and saying, "Oh, you banned my brother for a year from the floor." Yeah, dude, tell your buddy to not walk onto the floor and start cursing at players. And the NBA would not be, suspending him from an arena.
You can't have that.
No.
And I don't think that the Pacers are throwing out accusations like that just willy-nilly. You know what I mean about the red laser beam coming out of the vehicle? They're not just they want to get Ja Morant suspended? They're going to these lengths to get Ja Morant suspended? To what end would the Pacers make up that story?
They're not
story?
Even in the same conference.
You know what I mean? Right.
So you don't even get an edge in the standings.
To what end do you make up that story? If you're the Indiana Pacers and multiple players on that bus saying they saw that.
Yeah, why would you bring up the red laser if it's just completely fabricated? Now, again, nobody said that it was a gun. The Pacers security said that's 100% a gun. But the people who spoke to the Athletic said, we don't know if it was a gun. The guy from the Pacers security said it was a gun. We're not saying that. Just a crazy story. Here was Taylor Jenkins, head coach of the Grizzlies, talking about the investigation.
Yeah, I mean, that was addressed internally, aware of the investigation. The NBA, did a full-on investigation. We were fully compliant with it, and I think they came out with a statement saying nothing was corroborated or found. So, that's what I know, and that's all I'm going to comment about.
Just a weird, weird thing.
I hope it's not true, to be quite honest with you.
If it was a gun, man, what are we doing?
Because that's
over a disagreement at a basketball game? What are we doing?
You know how we're always saying basketball fights ain't fights? Let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
This is over basketball?
I mean,
this is over. If somebody was pointing a gun, you just pointed a gun at somebody over basketball. Think about that for a second. Somebody just pointed a gun at somebody else and threatened a human life over basketball.
Stop it.
And Ja mostly, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting something here, but Ja's been pretty clean off the court. I mean, there's not a lot out there saying, you know, Ja's a troublemaker, he's doing this, he's doing, and now he's involved with this kind of crap. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. Up next, who are you more worried about, Keegan or Kevin Huerter?
Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.